We now move to the appendices that sit after the unnumbered chapter Will Project, which itself sits after chapter 17. We have a number of appendixes. The first appendix, Appendix 1, Self-Identification Exercise. Disidentification and self-identification. We are dominated by everything with which our self becomes identified. We can dominate, direct, and utilize everything from which we disidentify ourselves. The central and fundamental experience of self-consciousness, the discovery of the I, is implicit in our human consciousness. Here we have a footnote. Self-consciousness is used here in the purely psychological sense of being aware of oneself as a distinct individual and not in the customary sense of egocentric and even neurotic self-centeredness. Returning to text. It is that which distinguishes our consciousness from that of animals, which are conscious but not self-conscious. But generally the self-consciousness is indeed implicit rather than explicit. It is experienced in a nebulous and distorted way because it is usually mixed with and veiled by the contents of consciousness. This constant input of influences veils the clarity of consciousness and produces spurious identifications of the self with the content of consciousness rather than with consciousness itself. If we are to make self-consciousness explicit, clear, and vivid, we must first disidentify ourselves from the contents of our consciousness. More specifically, the habitual state for most of us, is to be identified with that which seems, at any one time, to give us the greatest sense of aliveness, which seems to us to be the most real or most intense. This identification with a part of ourselves is usually related to the predominant focus of our awareness, to the predominant role we play in life. It can take many forms. Some people are identified with their bodies. They experience themselves and often talk about themselves mainly in the terms of sensation. In other words, they function as if they were their bodies. Others are identified with their feelings. They experience and describe their state of being in affective terms. They believe their feelings to be the central and most intimate part of themselves, while thoughts and sensations are perceived as more distant, perhaps somewhat separate. Those who are identified with their minds are likely to describe themselves with intellectual constructs, even when asked how they feel. They often consider feelings and sensations as peripheral, or are largely unaware of them. Many are identified with a role and live, function, and experience themselves in terms of that role, such as mother, husband, wife, student, businessman, teacher, etc. This identification with only a part of our personality may be temporarily satisfactory, but it has serious drawbacks. It prevents us from realizing the experience of the I, the deep sense of self-identification, of knowing who we are. It excludes and greatly decreases the ability to identify with all other parts of our personality, to enjoy them, and utilize them to their full extent. Thus, our normal expression in the world is limited at any one time to only a fraction of what it can be. The conscious or even unconscious realization that we somehow do not have access to much that is in us can cause frustration and painful feelings of inadequacy and failure. Finally, a continuing identification with either a role or a predominant function leads often and almost inevitably to a precarious life situation, resulting sooner or later in a sense of loss, even despair, such as in the case of an athlete who grows old and loses his physical strength, an actress whose physical beauty is fading, a mother whose children have grown up and left her, or a student who has to leave school and face a new set of responsibilities. Such situations can produce serious and often very painful crises. They can be considered as more or less partial psychological deaths. No frantic clinging to any waning old identity can avail. The true solution can only be a rebirth, that is, entering into a new and broader identification. This something involves the whole personality and requires and leads to an awakening or birth into a new, higher state of being. The process of death and rebirth was symbolically enacted in various mystery rites and has been lived and described in religious terms by many mystics. At present, it is being rediscovered in terms of transpersonal experiences and realizations. This process often occurs without clear understanding of its meaning, and often against the wish and will of the individual involved with it. But a conscious, purposeful, willing cooperation can greatly facilitate, foster, and hasten it. It can best be done by a deliberate exercise of disidentification and self-identification. Through it, we gain the freedom and the power of choice to be identified with or disidentified from any aspect of our personality, according to what seems to us most appropriate in each situation. Thus, we can learn to master, direct, and utilize all the elements and aspects of our personality in an inclusive and harmonious synthesis. Therefore, this exercise is considered as basic in psychosynthesis. Identification exercise. This exercise is intended as a tool for achieving the consciousness of the self and the ability to focus our attention sequentially on each of our main personality aspects and roles, etc. We then become clearly aware of and can examine their qualities while maintaining the point of view of the observer and recognizing that the observer is not that which he observes. In the form which follows, the first phase of the exercise, the disidentification, consists of three parts of dealing with the physical, emotional, and mental aspects of awareness. This leads to the self-identification phase. Once some experience is gained with it, the exercise can be expanded or modified according to need, as will be indicated further on. Procedure. Put your body in a comfortable and relaxed position and slowly take a few deep breaths. Preliminary exercises of relaxation can be useful. Then make the following affirmation, slowly and thoughtfully. I have a body, but I am not my body. My body may find itself in different conditions of health or sickness. It may be rested or tired, but that has nothing to do with myself, my real I. I value my body as my precious instrument of experience and of action in the outer world, but it is only an instrument. I treat it well, I seek to keep it in good health, but it is not myself. I have a body, but I am not my body. Now close your eyes. Recall briefly in your consciousness the general substance of this affirmation, and then gradually focus your attention on the central concept. I have a body, but I am not my body. Attempt, as much as you can, to realize this as an experienced fact in your consciousness. Then open your eyes and proceed the same way with the next two stages. I have emotions, but I am not my emotions. My emotions are diversified, changing, sometimes contradictory. They may swing from love to hatred, from calm to anger, from joy to sorrow, and yet my essence, my true nature, does not change. I remain. Though a wave of anger may temporarily submerge me, I know that it will pass in time. Therefore, I am not this anger. Since I can observe and understand my emotions, and then gradually learn to direct, utilize, and integrate them harmoniously, it is clear that they are not myself. I have emotions, but I am not my emotions. I have a mind, but I am not my mind. My mind is a valuable tool of discovery and expression, but it is not the essence of my being. Its contents are constantly changing as it embraces new ideas, knowledge, and experience. Often it refuses to obey me. Therefore, it cannot be me, myself. It is an organ of knowledge in regard to both the outer and the inner worlds, but it is not myself. I have a mind, but I am not my mind. Next comes the phase of identification. Affirm slowly and thoughtfully. After the disidentification of myself, the I, from the contents of consciousness, such as sensations, emotions, thoughts, I recognize and affirm that I am a center of pure self-consciousness. I am a center of will, capable of observing, directing, and using all my psychological processes and my physical body. Focus your attention on the central realization. I am a center of pure self-consciousness and of will. Attempt as much as you can to realize this is an experienced fact in your awareness. As the purpose of the exercise is to achieve a specific state of consciousness, once that purpose is grasped, much of the procedural detail can be dispensed with. Thus, after having practiced with it for some time, and some might do this from the very beginning, one can modify the exercise by going swiftly and dynamically through each of the stages of disidentification, using only the central affirmation of each stage and concentrating on its experiential realization. I have a body, but I am not my body. I have emotions, but I am not my emotions. I have a mind, but I am not my mind. At this point, it is valuable to make a deeper consideration of the stages of self, of the stage of self-identification along the following lines. What am I then? What remains after having disidentified myself from my body, my sensations, my feelings, my desires, my mind, my actions? It is the essence of myself, a center of pure self-consciousness. It is the permanent factor in ever-varying flow of my personal life. It is that which gives me a sense of being, of permanence, of inner balance. I affirm my identity with this center and realize its permanency and its energy. I recognize and affirm myself as a center of pure self-awareness and of creative, dynamic energy. I realize that from the center of true identity, I can learn to observe, direct, and harmonize all the psychological processes and the physical body. I will to achieve a constant awareness of this fact in the midst of my everyday life and to use it to help me and give increasing meaning and direction to my life. As the attention is shifted increasingly to the state of consciousness, the identification stage also can be abridged. The goal is to gain enough facility with the exercise so that one can go through each stage of disidentification swiftly and dynamically in a short time, and then remain in the I consciousness for as long as desired. One can then, at will and at any moment, disidentify from any overpowering emotion, annoying thought, inappropriate role, etc. And from the vantage point of the detached observer, gain a clearer understanding of the situation, its meaning, its causes, and the most effective way to deal with it. This exercise has been found most effective if practiced daily, preferably during the first hours of the day. Whenever possible, it is to be done shortly after waking up and considered as a symbolic second awakening. It is also of great value to repeat it in its brief form several times during the day, returning to the state of disidentified I consciousness. The exercise may be modified appropriately according to one's own purpose and existential needs by adding stages of disidentification to include other functions beside the three fundamental ones, physical, emotional, mental, as well as subpersonalities, roles, etc. It can also begin with a disidentification from material possessions. Some examples follow. I have desires, but I am not my desires. Desires are aroused by drives, physical and emotional, and by other influences. They are often changeable and contradictory, with alternations of attraction and repulsion. Therefore, they are not myself. I have desires, but I am not my desires. This is best placed between the emotional and mental stage. I engage in various activities and play many roles in life. I must play these roles, and I willingly play them as well as possible, be it the role of son or father, wife or husband, teacher or student, artist or executive. But I am more than the son, the father, the artist. These are roles, specific but partial roles, which I myself am playing, agree to play, can watch and observe myself playing. Therefore, I am not any of them. I am self-identified, and I am not only the actor, but the director of the acting. This exercise can be and is being performed very effectively in groups. The group leader voices the affirmations and the members listen with eyes closed, letting the significance of the words penetrate deeply. And that is end of Appendix 1.